Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everybody and welcome to another episode of Is It Just Me? And it's not just me today, it's me, Joe Elvin, one host, and...
Me, James Williams.
It's you, hello. Yes. James Williams.
I'm back, because we've been separated the last few shows.
You actually had a proper job.
Well, yes.
So rude.
How dare
so
me.
Selfish. So today we're going to have a real tour de force around some highbrow, lowbrow, everything in between topics.
Here, here.
We are front and centre again. This is the podcast that really... makes important decisions about the trivial things.
Forget Brexit.
That's sort of really important, right?
Yep, absolutely. We're here for the real stuff.
And today we're here with a real force of nature, one of my favourites, author, presenter, broadcaster. She's been so busy, it's been very, very hard to drag her to our little pod cupboard. It's Cherry Healy.
I love being in your pod cupboard more than I can say. It's
already?
Wonderful. It's quite a windowy cupboard.
Yeah. It's airy.
It is airy and beautiful, and I'm so happy to be here.
Well, aww, we're very happy to have you.
We are excited.
What's your story? What have you been up
oh
to?
My gosh. Well, yeah. I am so excited about a show that's coming out on Thursday because I put blood and tears and sweat
quite
into
literally.
It. I think I cried every day filming this show. It was so hardcore. So it's
I winced watching your show.
Oh God, Joe, it was so awful. I mean,
for those not familiar, we are talking about.
So it's called Sex, Knives, and Liposuction, or Liposuction. Do you say lipo or lipo?
I say lipo.
I think I say lipo.
Yeah. Steve Wright says lipo. Who knew that?
Wow. You learn something new every day.
Exactly. That's
he's
a tip.
He's the legendary broadcaster. Yeah,
absolutely.
Maybe we've got it wrong.
He's got a steamed glass. You know, he puts them on the end of his nose.
Maybe it was lipo in the 70s.
So now it's lipo.
Yeah.
But it's a show about surgery today. So it's a show about the huge popularity of surgery, especially for young girls. So a lot of 20-year-olds checking themselves in for a full overhaul. That's for fillers, lips, eyes,
butt lift, boobs,
butt lift, you know, the whole thing. You go in, or a mummy makeover, which is a huge
scam. Where do they get the money from?
So this is the thing. So when I was 20, I had loads of body insecurities, and God knows what I would look like if surgery was available then. But you can go abroad to get cut price surgery. Right. And also, I wouldn't have gone traveling around the world. I may not have even been able to afford to go to university. So what are the girls sacrificing to get these bodies? And also bodies nowadays, there's a fashion. What happens when that fashion goes? I'm not saying don't do it, or I'm not saying I'm totally against surgery.
Oh, I'm saying don't do it.
But
absolutely.
But what I'm saying is you've got to really, really want that surgery. A couple of my friends have had surgery. A girl had breast reduction. She's so much happier. It was definitely for herself. It's a positive thing. I know another girl, he was very, very, very uncomfortable with the way her breasts hung, if I'm just going to be. And she had surgery and she's definitely so much happier. And I can see why. But I think if you're, what the trend is girls who don't really have any insecurities about them, not massive ones,
but this
having
is,
surgery.
This
that's
is
a
where
problem.
I die a little inside and I'm so depressed and anxious about younger generations because it seems to me that, you know, back in my day, if you didn't like your outfit, you would change it. It feels like people are thinking that trying on bodies and faces is the same as changing an outfit.
And the problem
now.
is you can't take it off. And not only can you, that's the almost the least of the worries. Not only can you not take it off, if you're going under anesthetic, there is a life risk. I mean, it is,
it's brutal.
Now, there have been a couple of stories in the papers recently. For Brazilian butt lift, 1 in 3,000 people die. It's not a joke. It's really, really dangerous.
Why is it called a Brazilian butt lift?
Because it originates from Brazil. I went to Brazil in the show to go to the Miss Bum Bum competition.
Okay.
And that is a...
What do they honour?
It's the bum bum. It's about giant toes. Massive toes.
Stirring up more questions than answers.
Sorry. So it's a show.
So I'm so glad you talk fast.
And they're all pumped with silicon and implants. You're not supposed to have implants, but they all do. And they pump. Well, there was a girl two Miss Bum Bums ago, and she had they're all about thick thighs and huge booties, and she had injected silicon, a chemical, into her thighs.
Oh my god.
And then a doctor contacted her after the show, after she'd won Miss Bum Bum, and said, I've got this amazing thing, it's going to make them really thick and really juicy. And so she injected it into her thighs, and they basically, it, the reaction of the chemicals caused her legs to blister so much that she's now in a wheelchair.
Oh my god.
Her legs are completely destroyed. So you see, there's so many stories like that.
But I want to ask you, what did your research uncover in terms of where is the authority that this is the right way to look? Where's that coming from? Where are people collectively deciding that they need the Brazilian butt lift or Botox or a boob job or whatever? Who's making those decisions based on what?
I think you know the answer to that.
I don't. Tell me.
I mean, there's a particular family, I think, that have really pioneered
the
extreme. I think it's so many. I think the Love Island bodies. Mm. I think those perfect bodies aren't really. And
though?
I
they're
can
so
tell.
Plasticky.
I can now tell. So by someone's shape, if they've had liposuction and Brazilian butt lift. It's just a very specific shape, and I see it everywhere now. I mean, the popularity of it is quite terrifying.
Don't you think the problem with this is it's disclosure? And this has always been my thing about any kind of surgery. I'm actually not pious. I've got no issue with, do what you want to do. Obviously, do it safely where
really
possible.
Think about it.
But I really, it kind of gets my goat a bit where people get on their high horse about it, because actually there's a lot of people doing it. You have no idea. You know, there's lots of people having Botox done very well or injectables. Or they've had really subtle boob jobs. And so I never get on my high horse about it. But I think the problem is the people who do it well and do it subtly are never very open about it. So the only examples we have are the horrific botched ones, right? And so that's then they become like Jocelyn Wildenstein, or dare I say even Sharon Osbourne. You know, she's become famous for having so much done. But there are plenty of people in Hollywood and actually probably on UK TV who are having as much subtle work done. You're just not aware of it.
I couldn't agree more. I think the lying about it is so annoying. Now, I don't judge any woman who has any of these procedures done, because you never know what somebody's mindset and motives are. I do judge the society that is pushing women to pretend to be younger than they are, or pretend to have different bodies. I think, don't judge that woman. You don't know what it's like to be in her shoes. But I do think the society we've created around it
is
a problem.
In the show, you speak to a plastic surgeon, and he... did something that, you know,
Dr. Dirk.
I went along to, I think out of curiosity more than anything else, I was offered to go along to a plastic surgeon years ago to, you know, sort of like to discuss Botox.
And everyone likes to pop their head around the corner. Just, what does this look like?
I suppose
what
I was curious. Yeah, I was probably lying to myself a bit about going as a journalist to see what it was all about. And it's the language that these guys use. That you need. I've got a little scar on my lip from a dog bite from when I was a kid, and I can see you straining to see it, but
see
it is there. I was in that surgery 5 seconds, and he said, why would you walk around with that on your lip when I can fix it? And it was like that guy talking to you is like, oh, your boobs don't need too much.
But they could be higher.
When did that filter into the language that you need a butt lift or and it really
so were you completely
me.
Turned off? Did you think, okay, maybe later on? Did they ever push you towards it?
Yeah, I felt a little bit like, you know, listen, if you're not here to get a face full of injectables, can you just go so I can get the next paying customer in? Yeah. And it just felt like, you know, it just felt a bit extreme. for me, but I don't know if I would feel like that now. I don't know.
I do think it's really, you have to be careful with this subject, because I noticed that throughout the journey of this film, I hate that word journey, but apologies, we did actually go to places. So I did basically go on a journey. Got a plane to Florida. Yeah. Metaphorical journey in my heart and mind. So as I grew in as a person, I did find myself really changing my mind and being confused about this subject, which is a good thing. I mean, I don't think I've ever been so torn by any other subject.
Did you have a very different stance at the beginning?
I tried to clear the decks. I know I've grown up, I think probably similar to you, I've grown up with surgery being a taboo. It's a bit uncool. You definitely don't admit it. It's something you hide. But for the younger generation, it's
something
just
for rich people.
Like that. Mm. If you get a boob job, you probably brag about it online. You stand on a beach in Dubai with a bottle of shampoo and a new bikini with huge...
You are right, actually. It has become...
And that's what we were trying to look at. Yeah. So I was trying to clear the decks of the taboo that I've grown up with. And now, you know, it's like tattoos for my mom's generation. That was really, really extreme and bad. And why would you do that? And now they're kind of cool. And I was trying to get into that mindset for this. What would be my view of surgery if I just looked at it at a blank canvas? And I tell you, standing in a surgery, watching a girl who's completely naked, covered in iodine, on a kind of crucifix shape, being stabbed by a metal pole by a surgeon covered in blood and fat... I tell you, I blanked my canvas and I had feelings on it afterwards, which were, over my dead body, do I ever want anyone that I love and know to ever go through that? But also, I get why she's doing it, because she's absorbed images of girls getting these procedures and they're making lots of money. I think there's a real thing about surgery for financial gain, surgery for success. If I get this new body, people are going to want to...
Well, the Megan Love Island, that was a classic thing. And actually, I hate to say it, it's not the popular thing to say, but the truth is, she looks incredible.
She looks great, and let's not deny that. Because that's, you know, she does look, she looks a bit like that actress, Margot Robbie. She looks like Margot Robbie. And I think a lot of girls see that. And so if I was to say, oh, I just, you know, it's really bad, and don't, you know, it's really, it's disingenuous, because they're all thinking,
she looks great.
She's pretty great, and I don't look that striking, and I want to look that striking. But so, what is it? I think for me personally, the more women feel value in other things, like being brilliant in their jobs and being really funny, and not feeling like we need to be accessories for other people's pleasure. I am not on this planet for you to think I'm pretty. I've got to be more than that. I am more than that, and I think a lot of girls grow up feeling like their job is to be attractive for other people.
Yeah. And they see that that's where mega rewards lie.
That's where you get money. Megan, it doesn't matter. It didn't matter what she did in that house. Yeah. It didn't matter how she behaved. All the boys wanted to be with her. I mean, it was a horrible endorsement of something we're trying to find.
It's a bit depressing, isn't it?
It was a bit depressing. Really, but it didn't matter. But
does this program, do you think, challenge, even if you have one stance or one way or the other, is this a program that everyone can learn something from, you'd argue?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I really tried. I didn't want it to be righteous. I didn't want it to be pious. I didn't want it to be judgmental. Because how do I know? You know, I think so. On one hand, you know, surgery's bad, don't do it. But then my friend Mary's had surgery and she's had Botox and she looks great.
Yeah.
And it's really done a good thing for her. I get spray tan. I dye my hair. For some people, that's extreme.
True.
That's too much. So I think what we don't want is women pitting against each other and saying, well, I'm allowed to have a spray tan, but you're not allowed to have Botox.
No, true.
But what I do think is we must recognise how much pressure there is and be... I know it sounds like we've been talking about this for a long time, but... lots of people haven't heard this message and lots of girls haven't been empowered.
Maybe it's the new sort of like cigarette packet thing where maybe when you're considering this, especially if you're young, maybe you are shown videos of what actually getting a facelift looks like.
I also think the difference between looking refreshed and actually kind of looking pretty great, looking good, and looking like you've joined... you know, like a
the
like
monsters.
It's paper
weird
thin.
Robo fembot society.
Yes, it's paper thin. It's one trip to your doctor to have a little bit too much filler, and I think also you think you start to go a bit blind.
Yeah.
You start to not recognise when you look really, really strange.
You've crossed over to the dark side.
Yes.
Oh, well, look.
I think you can see it.
The show is on Thursday.
It's on this Thursday, the W 20th W Channel at 10 o'clock.
Sex Knives and
it's a three-part series. So
it sounds like it's going to get us all thinking and all talking.
One hopes, and not necessarily on the waiting list.
You on Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm not going to look at Twitter for days.
And speaking of talking,
yes.
Are you ready to do some more, Cherry?
I can't wait.
Okay, let's get on to some topics, shall we? Well, staying on topic, Cherry and Joe Elvin, is it just me that thinks we should stop Botox shaming people? Now, I know obviously we've talked about extreme sort of procedures, but you know, Botox I think has become now so, dare I say it, run of the mill. It's available on the high street. Plenty of my friends from school, and I say not, when I say friends from school, I mean friends not living in London. It's not just a city thing anymore. It's just readily available. So do you think we need to basically just accept it's like, as you mentioned earlier, having a spray tan or having your hair done?
Do people shame people about Botox?
I think there is still a bit of that going on. I think if you are part of maybe the body positive movement, which I love, and God yeah. bless them for what they do, I think it's probably a known, like Botox is a no-no. One of my friends, Starmy Sunday, is definitely of the idea. And I'm really torn between my ethics and my vanity, between actually women shouldn't play into the pretense of having to look younger than they are. And then actually I'd quite want to look well slept. Yeah. Thank you. So I don't know.
Well, I think as well, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. It's like everything. It's like if you go to have your hair dyed by a bad hair colorist, it's going to look very fake and very brassy blonde. Yes. If you go to the wrong person for your injectables, you're going to look very frozen of face yes. and not very natural. And I think this is what the problem is, because I think there is still an element of shame to it. No one is going up and asking the people who clearly look very good, saying, where do you go to have your Botox done?
Yeah.
Because it's still a big taboo, I think.
It really
and,
is.
It's actually really unfair, because basically it is creating this idea.
Do you think it's an extension of makeup?
I think it's getting to that point. I mean,
I don't think the goal is always necessarily to look younger.
No.
I think I don't know.
Well, if anything, it can make you look older.
Thank you.
Those poor girls who have it done way too young and then end up looking like a good 35-year-old as opposed to a young 25-year-old.
So I saw so much of that when I was making the film, and I filmed with this amazing woman who does all the footballers' wives in Cheshire.
And do they all have the same face?
Oh my God. And they all look 10 years older. Yeah. What's funny is that I walked up, her house is this mansion. She looks like she's come off a spacecraft. She was in this kind of white pinafore dress, and she's got a white Lambo outside and a white Land Rover outside, and she invited me in, and it's very elegant, very beautiful, dripping in diamonds, and she stood next to me in the like perfect, I was wearing a cardi, and I just looked terrible. I looked like I'd got dressed in the dark in one of those days I hadn't.
And
I stood next to her, and I just felt like a kind of gremlin. But she said I'm with the same age and I look 10 years older than you because I've had so much work done.
She said that.
And I thought, you're right, you do. I look more, you know, liney, but she'd had the fillers, and also because lots of my friends have had Botox and they've got a little bit and it looks great, but she had had so much done, and the girls in her clinic had definitely gone to the, like you say, the dark side. So I think you have to be so careful, but like you say with anything,
it's like there's that tipping point, isn't it? It's a bit like losing too much weight when yes. you, because you look at yourself every day and you don't realize. So you know, you often, people have to say, okay, you've lost too much weight now, you're actually looking a bit gorgeous. You know what I mean? People often say that to you, but you don't realize it because you're looking at yourself every day and you yes. think, I haven't lost any weight.
I think that we have to cherish and hold dear actually what we look like now, because once it's gone, it's quite hard to get back. I mean, there are so many people. Steve Wright was talking about Kenny Rogers. Apparently, Kenny Rogers now doesn't look anything like Kenny Rogers. You wouldn't recognize him if he walked down the street. I have to say, I'm not that familiar with Kenny Rogers. Yeah. But I can't wait to go home and Google him. Look at Meg Ryan. Beautiful. Yeah. Stunning. Gorgeous,
well,
Meg Ryan.
Well, I always say, my friends would laugh when I say, I feel some celebs go to that haunted Tupperware look.
Yeah.
Where they just look like a piece of china that's had a terrible fright.
Haunted Tupperware.
Because they just don't really have any lines or expressions or any life in yes. their face. And I think, but again,
but the question is, can you have a little bit of Botox?
Yes,
have a little
you can.
Freshen up and stop.
No, but I think you can.
Can you?
No, but I think this is where the Botox shaming comes in, because, well, no, because I do think, again, people think people who have Botox literally have a frozen face and a frozen yes. forehead. And that's not true, because I know the celebs, I know some friends of mine yes. who have it done, and they have a fully moving face.
Yes.
They just look, they've had the best night's sleep
ever.
See,
my friend Mary has that, and she's been doing it for 10 years. In fact, I always refer back to her, because she's actually the person I know who's had these things done. And she's also, I mean, a relatively sensible person. And she looks amazing, and she doesn't have a frozen face, and she hasn't had filler and huge lips, and she looks fresh and lovely and great. She still looks like Mary, but maybe you're right. I always worry that it's a slippery slope, and I'll start to want my lips done,
well,
and then my fillers done.
I think it is for some people.
So, you know, the obsession with the way we look.
It's, yes.
You know, we've talked about this a long time now. It's,
yeah. Well, also, we have to point out, I mean, I also have, on the flip side, friends who have had nothing done. And again, I was going to say, they are...
Need it.
Well, no, they don't. They look amazing. But also, that's what I was going to say, there is definitely then a slight smugness from those people that go, yes, I've had nothing done. And you can tell that if you said, I have, they'd be like, oh, really? They'd really look down on
you. Yes, and so also, be aware of if you are naturally attractive to not be snidey to somebody who isn't necessarily, but then it always comes back to your bottom line, the obsession about how we look.
Yeah.
And so, I mean,
and why are you doing
if
it?
If only we could just forget the whole thing, we'd be a lot happier, wouldn't we?
I know, and just be loved.
But that's the thing. You know,
the thing is, we are loved for who we are. I'm getting to an age
where I'm just going to look as old as I look, and nothing I do is going to change.
And also, the reality is, everything you do that tries to change it, other than maybe a tiny little thing here and there,
I think there is a difference. We've talked about this before, about, you know, people always say, oh, you know, people who say, you're very brave to say how old you are, you know, because I would never lie about my age.
I lie the other way. I go, I'm 55. people go, you look absolutely amazing. Why do people lie the other way?
I don't.
If I tell people I look 25, they go, oh babe.
It's awful. Right? But I mean, you know, I just think that there's a difference between wanting to look good for your age and wanting to look younger. There is something a little bit sad
that
in wanting to be... That
is
10 years younger than you are.
Absolutely. I think it's such an important point. Yeah. There's a difference between wanting to look fresh, a 35-year-old or 37-year-old.
Who looks great.
Fresh woman.
Somebody who desperately looks 21
or
again.
A 25-year-old with gigantic lips.
Yeah. So it is a hard one. And I'm sure we're going to get lots of emails.
Did we shame Botox then? I don't think we did.
No, I mean, look, ultimately, you do what's right for you, don't you? I admire people who don't want to have anything done. At the same time, I don't shame people who want to have it. If it works for you and it makes you happy. But I agree.
It's expensive.
It's expensive. Oh my God. If you can afford it, good luck to you.
Absolutely. I think that there's no point in denying that we all live in a society that tells us that looks are incredibly important. And for women, they are critical. Mm. They are critical. And you do get treated nicer. Some of my most beautiful friends seem like slightly swan through life. That is true. Mm. And people fawn over them. They fawn over them because, you know, people are attracted to beautiful things. So that is the world we live in. So let's acknowledge that. And there are some women who can fight against that, and God love them. And there are other women that can't. And let us not shame the ones that have said, do you know what? Sod it. Nope. I'm actually just going to have a bit of this
but also feel a bit happy
about myself.
As the one man around the table, I would also now say, I don't think this is just a female thing either. I think, you know, going back to your Love Island point, I mean, Richard Madden, didn't he? The star of Bodyguard came out recently, and he said, you know, he did that full naked, like, you know, he flashed his bum in Bodyguard, trained like a mofo in the gym for weeks, ate barely anything, or ate loads of protein and no fat. And he said, I still didn't look like somebody from Love Island, which makes you then question, what are the guys from Love Island doing? Because we need to talk about things like steroid abuse in men, you know? Because it's true.
Massively, which hugely affects men's fertility.
Exactly.
And if they've done it in their 20s, it's almost irreversible. Yeah. Let's just talk
tell
about
you
that.
What, it's kind of great listening to this, just being an average looking person. Because that's just...
So not average looking. Such a knockout.
I've never sort of like striven to be gorgeous. And I think
if you are gorgeous,
there's a long way to fall
down. I will
down.
Question that. You are.
No,
you
shut
are.
Up.
No, you are. No, I'm not wrong. You are really gorgeous. You've got beautiful lips, perfect skin.
You're
amazing
very kind,
figure.
That's not being my experience of the world.
But also you're fantastically clever, and your value is in your brilliant job. And I want that for my daughter. I want my daughter's value to be like that.
I was about 16 or 17 where I had a word with myself and thought, well, you're just going to have to develop a personality because it's not going to be about looks for you.
Yeah.
Swear to God. And I'm just, my only point is...
Yes.
It just has made me feel I can watch Love Island or any of those things and not want it. I'm objective about the pretty people. I'm not yearning to be a pretty person. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
No, I love Love Island, but yes, at the same time, I would never say that's all you have to aspire to in life.
But I think, again, it's a bit like if you're super attractive, you know, shaming Botox people. But I agree with you. Actually, I'm really happy with where I'm at as a 37-year-old woman and with my career. And I'm really happy. You know, I think I'm a pretty good mom. I think I'm a nice daughter sometimes. My mum might call in and say otherwise. but I feel the things that are really good and juicy in my life are not my... boobs, like, as in they're pretty juicy.
Don't ask me the judge.
They're pretty juicy, but as in that's not
whatever happens in the cupboard.
You know it, baby. My butt cheeks. But I my value as I've grown older has been in wonderful things that are way more than what I look like. But what if you don't have a career? What if you haven't been educated? Yeah. What if you haven't been affirmed by friends and parents in the way that we might have been? Mm. What if actually you're a 20-year-old girl and you haven't necessarily done that well at school, or you don't know what you want to do with your life, and you think, if I go down this path, I could be making millions, or I could be getting all this attention. And I think the sadness is, when I was 20, this wasn't around. Mm. Surgery wasn't, I mean, it wasn't even vague an option. It didn't cross my mind. But when you're 20 now, you can go on a cut price holiday to Turkey, but you can't undo it.
I know.
Shudder. I just can't talk about it any longer.
I know. I think all you need is good. Yeah. You need to keep good friends around you to keep
and
you grounded,
also,
don't you?
To remind the girls around us and our girls growing up about how brilliant they are, and about how kind and thoughtful and funny and lovely they are. And,
amen.
And then the how they look won't be the priority, because they won't have grown up being told, when you know, as growing up, the first thing anyone ever says to you as a little girl is, you look nice.
Yeah.
You look nice.
Well, there's the whole argument about we shouldn't call little girls pretty anymore.
Yes, there's a real, people are making a conscious effort to use different words around girls.
You're smart,
and I think some people think it's PC gone mad. I think it's a life-saving tool.
Quite possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Is it just me, Cherry Healy, James Williams, who I try to keep a lid on it, but I do get a little bit on edge, see red a little bit when people mix up words like Pacific and specific, or my absolute bugbear, a double espresso. It's an espresso.
I've just come back from holiday where people were ordering far too many espresso martinis, and it was getting on my right tit. Like,
I feel
believe.
Like I need to
Am
leave because I think I've called
that's
it espresso a few times.
That's what this
get out, Cherry. Get out.
Do you know what?
You're no longer welcome here.
Spell check, help me, because I think I typed it once. E-X, and obviously it doesn't give you anything. I thought, why is it not helping me? And of course it's E-S.
Yes, that's why.
Look, Joe's looking at me like, get out of my office.
No. Am I the worst person alive?
No. Well,
I'd say
am
my
too.
Daughter. My daughter said Pacific instead of specific the other
she's
day.
She's a little girl.
Absolutely. But you know what? I felt like a real snob because I really came down. I was like, no, repeat after me. Specific, and I really went for it, and I thought, God, I'm so...
Well, you see, my worry about Pacific specific is I actually think it's getting to a place now where people are not being corrected, and so people actually now think it's correct.
It's like apostrophes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
It is now.
It's like your. People don't correct the yours.
What are you going to do when we live in a world where it really is Pacific?
Oh my God, I will literally just fall off and drown myself in the actual Pacific.
I guess.
He went. There's like a queue. There'll be a queue.
Yeah. No, I mean, I do also wonder, I think you either are this kind of person that gets riled up by this stuff or you're not. And I wonder if because...
Is it just because of what we do?
I was going to say, I wonder if it's because we've come from journalistic background. We use words all the time. You know, because I'm one of those people that gets really annoyed when people don't know the lyrics of songs.
How can they not?
But some people just don't care, and they go, oh, get over it. I don't care what the lyrics are. I'm going, no, the lyrics are there for a reason. Please respect them.
Oh, there's a really great Peter Kay YouTube one where he does all the words that sound like something else.
Oh,
it's so great. It's something about a femidom and stapling a priest. It's worth a look.
That's what I always used to like, that Ghostbusters. I always sing Those Bastards. Those Bastards. It tickles me every time.
Oh,
yeah.
So but good.
Because
once you hear it, once you hear that, you can never hear anything else.
No, exactly. It's true.
Those
it's
bastards.
Like, it's like, was it Robbie Williams that used to sing Madonna's Ray of Light? Anna Friel.
Yeah.
Anna Friel instead of And I Feel. So now I always think, oh, it's the Anna Friel
that's
song.
Okay. But not Pacific.
I know. Well, there's probably people sat at home listening and going, oh my God, what's the difference?
These people are horrible.
Pacific is an ocean, everyone.
Specific is being very detailed.
It's a particular ocean.
Other people are asking, they're going, God, those patronizing bastards, I know the difference.
Absolute buggers. But also, I always get practice wrong. You know, when you're writing an email and you go, is it in C or in S?
Yeah.
But I do try and check because I notice these things. Well, I don't want me
S
to
is
be
the
getting
doing.
Email.
Yeah. The S is the doing word.
Oh, so, that's so useful.
Yeah. So if it's practicing, as then, in actually physically doing something.
Then it's an S.
Yeah, but okay. a habit is the C.
It's good practice.
Yeah.
C.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Thank you.
The only way I can defend...
We learned. Yeah.
The only way I can defend the espresso argument is I think people think because it's a really potent coffee, it makes you talk and do everything very quickly. So you do everything on an express level.
Yes.
So I think that's... there is a logic to it.
And also the difference is when you say it quickly, it's very minor.
Yeah.
I'll have a double espresso, please.
Yeah.
Look at I did it so subtly though.
Yeah. But then on the flip side of that, you tend to find when people are trying to say the word specifically, they say that it's quickly too. No.
What?
I think they lace it with a bit of like, I'm making a real point here. So they tend to say things like, I just want to be specific here and tell you. And it's a bit like, do you remember when Super Nanny used to say, this is unacceptable. This behavior is unacceptable. You're going, what? That's not a word.
Did she think it was unacceptable or do you think that was her accent?
I don't think she realized there was acceptable. It was unacceptable. It was like two S's or something.
Do you think it's because people just are not reading as much now? Because I think when you see it written down, you go, oh, it's acceptable.
Yeah.
But maybe we're not really... What my boyfriend told me that he knows people, and I sound like my mom. I sound like my grand. Do you know what I mean? Some people don't own a single book.
Wow.
There are people who don't own a single book. I can't believe my house is absolutely popping.
Do they have a Kindle?
No, I don't think it is.
I don't think that.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I don't read.
Possibly
no, it is.
True.
It is.
I think it's also because we spend so much time. It's the bloody phone again, isn't it? We spend so much time texting
scrolling.
Each other with emojis and anagrams. Yeah. What's the word for
GIFs?
Anagram? Yeah, no. You know, with like things that are
memes.
ASAP, you know.
Oh God.
She's ahead of her time.
Look at us being all high and mighty about using your words. We can't even think of the word for
it. My own ignorance here.
That is not acceptable.
That is not acceptable.
It is unacceptable that I don't know what that is.
Can you be more specific?
Yeah, exactly. What is specifically wrong with you? God, we're awful.
She's got a really specific problem.
She has.
I can't wait for the emails about this one.
Yeah. Feel free to hate on us, everyone. We love hearing from you. Please don't hit on us too hard. Do send us your thoughts on any of today's topics and any suggestions for future topics. The email address is isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com. Yes, we love hearing from you guys. So yes, do get in touch.
We've got a lovely email here from, I can't see... her name Layla. Hi Layla. I think she's emailing us from Australia, so it's Layla.
Yeah, from Perth. So
Layla, sorry about that, I got it wrong. It's Layla, not Layla. Is it just me, Layla says, who eats their lunch at 10 a.m. oh god, it is so not just
the struggle
you.
Is real, Layla.
It's impossible. That's brunch, it's fine, people, come on.
Well, that in my office is called first lunch.
It's first lunch.
Just start
how
with
many
first
lunches
lunch.
Are there, Joe?
Well, usually three.
That doesn't.
Yeah.
Is that including 11s?
On deadline day. Oh, I love 11s.
You love 11s.
No, that doesn't include 11s.
Anyway, back to Layla.
Yeah, sorry, Layla.
Layla says she does it all the time because she simply can't have any yummy food sitting there next to me without eating it. Well, I mean, you're only human, love.
Yeah.
Then I starve for the rest of the day. Well, see, that's where you're going wrong. There's no need to starve for the rest of the day.
She's not heard about second lunch.
Just go and get second lunch, for goodness sake. Anyway, huge fan of the show. She says, oh, we're a big fan of yours. And I listen from Perth, WA, where I have lived for the last 7 years with hubby and daughter, and it says Grudel Dog. I don't know if that's a spelling mistake.
Ah, the famous Grudel Dog.
Is that a brand of dog? A breed of dog?
Not living in Australia.
So fashion.
You guys really do make me feel like I know what's going on in the UK. Well, that's an accident because we never know what's going on.
I was going to say, we're clearly fooling you and no one else, Layla.
But so thank you so much for getting in touch, Layla. And yeah, just get second and or third lunch.
Get on board, Layla.
Yeah. Also, maybe don't make your lunch.
Yes.
I find if you make sandwiches, they're always delicious. They're your favourite bread, your favourite salami, your favourite cheese. A bit, nice big brie, maybe a little thing of pepper.
It's just sat there waiting to be eaten.
I'm sorry, but I'm only human.
Exactly. Yeah.
But that is...
You can resist so long.
I'm going to smash that on my way to work.
Quite. At 7 a.m.
7 a.m.
Bring on a fourth lunch.
I'm basically going to eat it as I make it.
Okay, finally then today, Cherry and Joe. I'm going to sound like I'm in the worst mood ever, but is it just me?
You are, quite frankly, a terrible person.
I really am a dreadful person.
Yeah.
He hasn't had his second lunch.
I'm hangry. No, is it just me who has zero tolerance for fussy eaters? Now,
oh, I've heard this sermon before.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Get ready, buckle up.
I need to tell you this. I have an announcement to make, people. Regular listeners, get ready, because this probably is karma. So basically, I do have fairly little tolerance for fussy eaters. It just winds me up, because I just think, you know what, just push it to the plate if you don't like it. Don't come here with your intolerances, your
hashtag
allergies,
plant-based,
your anaphylactic shock.
Exactly.
So boring.
And then lo and behold,
that hospital visit, blah blah blah.
And then lo and behold, about 4 months ago, I get diagnosed as pre-diabetic.
No.
Yes.
What?
So I have turned into that asshole. I am that asshole that's in every meal going, I can't have any potatoes and no parsnips, no carrots.
No.
Yeah, I know.
And he has since been to my house for dinner, and I said, you know what, I think we're just going to get a curry.
Which actually is quite good, because there are chickpeas are my new best friend, but I can't have any rice. But anyway,
that's the sweetest best friend I've ever heard anyone have. This is my best friend, Chickpea.
It's a great name.
Do you know what, it sounds like a bit of a children's book.
So great for
me,
your
and
GI.
Chickpea.
Yeah, me and chickpea.
Very good for your glycemic index.
Well, that's what I have to do now.
Can I ask a question? What exactly is that?
Well, basically, I have diabetes runs in my family. Yes. So if I didn't check my eating habits, because I don't process certain foods the same way as normal people would. So that means it turns to sugar, which stays in my bloodstream, which is very bad for my organs. But it's not bad at the moment. But if I don't check it, it will turn to type 2 diabetes.
So what are you supposed to avoid?
I love how this has just turned into a pre-diet.
All joy.
All joy.
No angels weeping in my lunchbox.
If you say pasta, I'm going to cry.
That's something. Yeah,
you must be like the healthiest person alive.
Well, no. Yeah, basically, it just means you have to be a bit smarter, but you're just not allowed, basically. Bread, pasta, rice.
It's part of me is dying.
I know.
As
I'm everything I'm ticking off. But you just, you can still have pulses.
Do you know what?
Beans.
Hang on a minute. What about wine?
Well, very dry wines. And champagne is very good for your diabetes.
So not too much high, glycemic.
Yeah, it's basically a low GI diet.
Right, low GI diet.
I can have sweet potato squash.
Which is very, very good for everybody, actually.
Yeah. Yeah,
yes,
it's true.
And also, actually, the pain of what might happen if you don't look after it.
Well,
versus not eating pasta.
I mean, the good thing about it is...
No excuse to ruin my dinner party, though.
No, that's true. And also, I should say, I mean, at one point they thought...
Such a bastard.
At one point...
You're making it up to look interesting.
No, God.
See, I think that's often the suspicion.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was going to say that comes with this whole anxiety thing.
This bacon-loving vegan.
Because these people that say, oh yeah, I'm intolerant, I'm going, well, that's not quite the same as being allergic, is it? Or like a peanut allergy can kill you.
Are you intolerant because you don't like being fat? I'm intolerant to things that make me fat.
Yeah, or people that just go, I'm not lactose intolerant. Going, so why are you not eating in dairy then? You know, it's become
because
a very
because that's all the yummy things.
I know.
Yeah. I mean,
I can have dairy. I can have dairy. Dairy's my friend.
I do get a bit vexed by that, because I think it is a slight orthorexia. Yeah, isn't it? It's the saying no to all the yummy things. So I'm just going to have plain rice and water. And I think just be honest about the fact that you're really watching what you eat.
And also because a lot of people self-diagnose. Oh, yeah. I can't have gluten. Oh, I can't have dairy. Yeah. And I must admit, I went through a phase of doing that and went to have blood tests, and a doctor saying to me, no, you don't have a wheat allergy.
No.
100% you don't have a wheat allergy. wheat allergy. There's like, you know.
Well, so many of my friends actually congratulated me when I was told I was pre-diabetic. They said, congratulations, James, you've now been diagnosed with something that means you're justified in eating like the arsehole you've always wanted to eat, like, anyway.
Oh my God, because
I was always the first one spiralizing. I was always the first one trying out Atkins. So, you know, so in a weird way, they said, you've kind of grown into your own, you know.
It's perfect.
You're a self-fulfilling prophecy.
It is. You've made, what's that?
I saw it. I was a soothsayer.
Yes, you materialised, yes.
But I mean, all jokes aside, so yeah, that is probably a massive payback for me. But
it must be so frustrating. It must be so frustrating if you really are, and I do have some friends who get incredibly sick if they eat wheat or dairy. Yeah. It must be so annoying if Karen from down the road is just absolutely talking rubbish. And you think, no, you really don't get sick if you eat dairy. Yeah. You just want to lose some weight and you're being fussy for the sake of being interesting.
I have to say, though, if I hadn't been given this medical diagnosis, I would be embarrassed to be that person in a restaurant.
You need to carry your certificate around with you at all times to justify yourself as a normal human being.
It's like having a badge.
But how do you feel? Because obviously now there probably are people sort of like silently eye-rolling you in the way that perhaps you...
I'm now being a total hypocrite. So to be honest, I've now become a lot more sympathetic to this very firm stance I used to have about fussy eaters.
Do you sometimes just go to someone's house and just, like you say, just push it to the side if you can't eat it? Or do you kind of give people a heads up?
Well, the thing about me is I'm actually quite lucky in the sense that, you know, it's very rare that somebody would, I mean, unless somebody put paella or a bowl of pasta in front of me, where pretty much I can't eat any of it.
No.
You know, if you have a fairly well-balanced meal, there are elements you can take or leave.
Like a chicken pie, you can take the top off or whatever it is. Yeah.
Can you really not eat it, or do you just have to...
Well, that's the other thing. I'm not... I mean, to be fair, somebody with a genuine allergy or intolerance is actually going to have a physical reaction. Yeah. Mine just means my blood sugar goes off for a bit, but then it comes back down to normal.
You can balance it,
yeah. It's perfectly fine. But
after I went vegetarian at the beginning of this year, and I'm in a big song and dance of it. Did you know? Did you know? Hey, you with the bag, did you know I'm vegetarian?
They do tend to do that, vegetarian. Don't they?
Oh, babe, I told the world, told everyone at work, told my three brothers, told my mum.
But don't you think it just ignites the world's most boring conversation?
I tell you what it does. It makes people wait, and they wait because they know you're going to eat some ham.
You're going to cave.
And my brothers know me. They know when I go to mum's for lunch and she's done slow roast lamb with crackling.
Oh.
They know I'm going to eat some. And they're waiting. And so what I realised was, if you tell everyone that you're vegetarian, then even if you go, actually, do you know what? There's nothing really here to eat. I'll have a chicken sandwich. Then all the crew at work, they come down on you. And what I've realised, and then I tried to go vegan and realised I can't live without cheese. Actually, meat, I can eat. So what I've realised.
Can't live without cheese.
Yeah. Is that you don't necessarily have to tell everybody that you're going vegetarian. You can just eat less meat.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And so I've decided to be somewhat like a human being that's trying to eat a bit less meat.
Because I just find, because Ross, my husband, has been a strict vegetarian for as long as I've known him. Doesn't miss lamb, or he's not ever going to succumb to ham.
No.
Succumb to the ham.
Succumb to ham.
I mean, what an order in life.
I don't know. It sounds a bit rude.
He doesn't like it. And I feel, I've been with him a long time now, and I die a little inside. It feels like we go through the same conversation at least twice a month.
Oh,
or something. So why are you a vegetarian? And how long have you been a vegetarian? And what do you eat instead? Oh. And Joe, how do you cope because you're not a vegetarian?
I love that. What do you eat instead?
Yeah.
Non-meat-based things.
I've had that conversation enough times to last me a lifetime.
Yeah. It is weird. Yeah. That's bizarre. I mean, I guess my original thought with this was fussy eaters who, you know, people just take against a very random food.
Yes.
They're the ones that annoy me. People go, oh, I don't like tomatoes. Yes. I only eat them hot. You know what I mean? I'm like, what? Or, you know, I guess because there are very few foods I wouldn't eat before my pre-diabetes, which I barely talk about.
Would you spiralise all of them?
It's very hard to spiralise tomato.
You haven't tried.
It's very juicy all over the place.
Maybe if it's hot.
You want to have a big bowl of Vanish ready for that.
But prior to being told, okay, these foods are not actually good for you.
Yes.
The only thing I didn't eat, and this is going to be the most middle-class thing ever, is I just can't stand oysters. And I feel like a real failure in life. I know. I just can't stand the oysters.
I'm allergic to them.
Are you?
Are you? God. Oh, look. I'll eat all of yours. No, I just hate them. I just think they're like swallowing snot.
Exactly.
It's
a texture thing. Yeah. But apart from that, there's basically no foods I dislike. And I guess it's people who take a very strange stance against.
I don't like toast. Yes. I don't like toast.
So James just wants everyone to be like him, and then we'll say no more about it.
Everyone wants. Yeah. Do you, you want no one to eat pasta?
Yeah. I'm the face of pre-diabetes. Who doesn't want a piece of this?
Hello. But I have to say,
and by the way, if the Diabetes Society's out there, and you're looking for a new spokesman or a role model, I'm available.
He will do it for cooked tomatoes
or chickpeas. Face of chickpeas.
The face of chickpea.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's a friend to all chickpeas. Yeah.
The competition is stiff because everyone wants to be the face of chickpea, but I think I may have got this one in the bag.
Oh God.
I mean, I have a confession to make, because when I turned 30, I made a big announcement that I was no longer eating peppers.
That's random. So you were one of these people who took against an innocuous food.
Strong statement.
And it was so,
oh, hang on,
really
green peppers.
They went for it. All
green peppers. Oh, green peppers are nasty.
They're in everything. Yeah. If you make me a ragu, get out. It's just the crap left in the bottom of your vegetable box. I'm going to make a ragu sauce. Anyone can make that. My 4-year-old son could make that. Honestly, don't make me a ragu with the stupid off peppers.
Well, there you go.
I'm telling you, that's a strong sentiment from Cherry.
I can't wait for someone to watch me eat a pepper and come down and be like a lead balloon.
You lied on the podcast.
You love them.
Annie, and then a slice of ham at the same time.
I'll have ham wrapped peppers.
It seems like the most crappiest way in the world to get attention. Make a statement about your pepper stance.
Excuse me, everyone. Yeah. Everyone sit down.
I've got a very important announcement to make.
Joe, I need to get attention wherever I'm on the telly. I'm a massive attention seeker. And when the telly turns off, the party really starts.
Yeah. The ham comes out, the peppers come out.
I go vegan. I've got low glycemic, non-vegan, GMI.
Hey, don't mock the pre-diabetes.
Don't mock them. I love chickpeas too.
When you came on the show today, Cherry, did you actually think you'd be sat here genuinely having such an impassioned conversation?
You've taken me down holes I didn't know existed. Wow. And I don't even want to repeat that.
And you've seen people being like injected with all kinds of things in Brazil.
I've seen more holes than anyone needs to see.
Well, in case you've forgotten, as we digressed so badly from the original topic, Cherry's new show is on this Thursday.
Thursday the 20th at 10 p.m. on W Channel. It's called Sex Knives and Liposuction.
Lipo.
And it's a part of the three.
Let's bring lipo
parts
back.
Liposuction.
Liposuction. Cherry, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. That was really bizarre and hooty and wonderful.
Yeah. And I'll see you for first dinner.
Yeah, I can't wait. Don't make me peppers, Joe.
Peppers and ham. Bring it on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.